Recently, a subscriber has asked me something about using monologues to explore artistic English, and that set off a whole train of thought in me regarding something that I've always thought about and always been in two minds about, namely the idea of speaking a language at a very advanced level. Think C2, basically. Today's video is not going to be a direct answer to my viewer's question, but rather a byproduct of it. This is Sam, and welcome to Inglogic. After a bit of research, it turns out I'm not the only one who ponders over this matter, and most of the opinions that I've come across seem to concur with me that the idea of C2 in any language is a bit of an illusion. I am perfectly aware that by saying this, I'm basically shooting myself in the foot because I do teach advanced English, but let me break down what I mean by everything I've just said so far, and as always, these are just my own opinions. First of all, when we talk about the concept of sophisticated elements in a language, I think that mainly refers to vocabulary and not grammar. We need grammar to express everything that we want to say, and the reason why I don't think we can talk about sophisticated grammar is the fact that you can't really avoid it. When it comes to vocabulary, you can use the basic word happy. Now, not everyone knows one of the sophisticated versions of this word, which is ecstatic, and if you don't, you can still survive. But talking about grammar, let's have a look at the sentence I've been making YouTube videos for 3 years. Now, this may seem and sound sophisticated, but since in English, if you want to talk about an action that started in the past and is still happening, on which you have a whole video over here, this is the only way that you can say it. You can't really consider this sophisticated because you can't avoid it. There is no way around it. And you can't survive without it if you want to speak fully meaningful and correct English. In this specific case, you can construct this duration form also by saying, I have made videos for 3 years, but it's not very common. The way I see it is that whilst the vocabulary can be sophisticated or basic, grammar can only be right or wrong. If you want to talk about something that started in the past and is still happening, you can't say I make YouTube videos for 3 years. You can't say I made YouTube videos for 3 years, although this last sentence does exist, but it has a different meaning. By the time you arrive, I will already have eaten may sound and seem extremely refined, but again, if you want to talk about the idea of a future action happening before another future action, this is the only way that you can say it correctly. So personally, I can't say that this is sophisticated. I'm not saying that it's easy to construct because there are a lot of verbs involved. So it is more advanced than the basic I went to the cinema yesterday. But again, I can't see it as sophisticated. In English exams, they ask you to rephrase sentences. So the basic sentence, no one knows when she'll be back, turns into there's no telling when she'll be back. Now, I do agree that this is more cultured and sophisticated, but I personally see this as vocabulary rather than straight and strict grammar. Here you have a whole playlist on the logic of conditionals and the meaning that they express. But let's imagine that your mum helped you financially to buy a house, and in a conversation, your friend tells you you were lucky that your mum supported you. What you want to say in your reply is, I know, she helped me, so I was able to buy a house. But no one would really say that. We would say, I know, if she hadn't helped me, I wouldn't have been able to buy a house. Now, this is the third conditional, and I understand that it's a complicated structure to build because it involves a lot of verbs and a lot of concepts, the subjunctive as well. But I can't really say that it's sophisticated because that's the most common and usual way that we would use to express this idea. So basically, there is no way around it. There are some cases where we express a concept in the same simple way as she helped me, so I was able to buy a house instead of a conditional. But that usually gives a slightly different nuance to the sentence. So it does exist, but usually we would tend to use a conditional in a standard emotionless sentence. The one thing that could potentially make conditionals sophisticated and not just advanced is if you can construct them correctly. Even native speakers will sometimes say, if she wouldn't have helped me, which is technically wrong. So if you avoid that and say, if she hadn't helped me, that tells me that you can speak English well. Sometimes I specifically tell you that the grammar point I'm teaching you is extremely geeky, like the difference between if you will not be free on Sunday, we will reschedule, and if you are not free on Sunday, we will reschedule. The first sentence means that if you can tell me now that you will not be free on Sunday, we can reschedule now. The second one means that if on Sunday you wake up and realize that you're not free, we will reschedule on Sunday. But the difference between these two sentences is so absurd and so technical that we don't really think about it when we speak, and we don't make or even understand this difference. So this is just a fun fact for you to know, and it's almost pointless to even know it, but I just tell you things like that because this is an advanced channel and I do like geeky things like this. But if you don't know this difference, that does not make you a bad speaker of English. I do make videos on advanced grammar like this one on the difference between if not and unless. Now, I do consider this to be advanced because it's not really even taught in schools. It's true that we don't really use these cases every day, but not many foreigners even know there is a difference between them, and they tend to use unless all the time because they're taught in school that they're basically synonyms. So knowing the difference between them does set you apart in my eyes. But again, I can't really say that it's sophisticated because if you really think about it, if you want to express a concept that only requires if not instead of unless, well, there is no way around it. So you should simply say if not, and that doesn't make it sophisticated, it just makes it correct. And this brings me to something that will probably earn me a virtual pelting and stoning. I don't think languages are creative at all because they're purely based on mathematical rules. If you want to express the idea of an action that started in the past and is still happening now, the only way you can do that is through a duration form, like we said earlier. You can't just be creative and use another structure because anything else that you say is either technically wrong, so I don't even understand it, or it exists but has a different meaning. You can't just wake up one day and decide to change the pronunciation of the word house into he's. Languages are not creative like that. The only creativity allowed is indeed vocabulary through synonyms, but again, within the limitations of what is mathematically possible. Let's go back to happy and ecstatic. Happy is the basic, easy version, and mathematically, it equals a simple number, like 5. Ecstatic is the sophisticated version, and mathematically, it can be seen as 2 plus 3. Now, 2 plus 3 is more complex than 5 because you need to calculate the result in your head, so it involves more work. If I give you just 5, I already give you the result. So that is possible. You can express 5 as 2 plus 3, but simply because 2 plus 3 equals 5. So you can't just wake up one day and create a different synonym for happy, because if you say that detrimental is the same as happy, that is incorrect, because although detrimental exists and it is a sophisticated word, it does not mean happy. So by saying that they are the same, you're telling me that 5 of happy equals 4 plus 3 of detrimental, and that's obviously wrong. My view on basic and sophisticated vocabulary is this. There are two kinds of C2 vocabulary. There is useful C2 vocabulary that makes you a real native, and there is useless C2 vocabulary that is not really used and that is just to be known as a fun fact. At the beginning of the video, I used fairly sophisticated words on purpose. I said to be in two minds about something, to ponder, to concur, byproduct, and I did that on purpose because these, in my opinion, are useful C2 vocabulary because they're not extremely popular. We don't say them every single day in every single sentence, but they are indeed used, and natives don't perceive them as ridiculous. A couple of weeks ago, I made a video on the review of the amazing book Lessons in Chemistry, which you can find over here, where I say that when I tagged the author in my Instagram post, she thanked me, and that's my version of rubbing shoulders with the upper echelons of society. Now, to rub shoulders with someone is technically informal, but I consider it C2 because it's not something that you learn in books, but it is indeed used in real life, and you will hear it on TV. It means that you spend time and you're friends with important people of society. However, echelon, which means a level or group of people within an organization, is absolutely useless because no one in their right mind would ever say it. It's basically pointless for you to know it, and please do not use it that often because it could potentially be seen as ridiculous by native speakers. So, why do I even teach you these words in the first place? I am a language geek, and as ridiculous and pointless as these words may be, as a language learner myself, I love knowing these words in the languages that I speak because that makes me feel like a true native. But that's just me being a language geek. I started this YouTube channel specifically to feed and express my geekiness and to help other people out there who might feel the same as me. Funnily enough, though, specifically with echelon and other such abstruse words, native speakers can sometimes say them ironically and sarcastically. So, going back to the fact that I was rubbing shoulders with the upper echelons of society, a native speaker who likes using these words might actually say those words in this case because it's a humorous way to sort of make fun of the fact that now I am famous because the writer of a book replied to me. So, it can happen. Some people can say these words. It's obviously great if you know them, but it doesn't make a big difference if you don't. I use some of these crazy words that I teach you just because I am a language geek and I do like playing with words because I like the fact that I know these words, but that's just me being me. If you type the word echelon into Youglish, which is an amazing website that shows you how a word is pronounced in a real-life sentence by native speakers usually, you will see that the only cases where this word is actually used is in very formal contexts, such as politics and the government, because no one on the street would ever dare to utter this word. Obviously, all these words work a treat in English exams, but in real life, knowing them doesn't necessarily and automatically make you a better speaker. Unfortunately, in Italy, where I studied, we learn a lot of literature when we study a foreign language. So, after only 2 years of real-life German grammar and vocabulary, which is a very short period of time, we did 3 years of literature. So, in German, I can say words like Festung, which means fort, fortress, aka completely useless C2 vocabulary. But up until 2 or 3 years ago, I did not know how to say the word bench because we never had the time to learn it. And I had to look it up for myself almost 10 years after I went to school and studied German. And I'm sure you can tell I am not impressed by what the school system had to offer there. All of this begs the next Question: in real English, do we even actually use sophisticated words? As an English teacher, I have to teach you the sophisticated versions of the basic words great and amazing, and depending on the context, you can get glorious, exhilarating, excellent, tremendous. But in real everyday life, nobody uses those words. Okay, possibly me, but again, I am not a good benchmark for this. We always say great and amazing. Those are the two most common and natural reactions to anything that is good. Instead of big, you could say imposing, majestic. But do we really say those words? No. We say big, very big, massive and huge, and that's where it ends. There are a lot of videos out there that teach you alternatives to how are you, and the title is usually don't say how are you all the time. But in real life, how are you is the primary thing that we say when we want to start a conversation with anyone. There are a couple of other options that are fairly common, such as how's it going, how's everything going, how are things, but how are you is still the best option that we always go for, and you shouldn't feel basic for using it because that's what we say. Why would we make it more difficult for ourselves by trying to find a more creative option to a very simple how are you? Options like what's up or how's it hanging are extremely informal and colloquial, and we never really use them, especially in spoken English. They can be used in written English, and yes, they can be said as well, but we simply don't really. You can hear it, so be ready to understand it. So it's good that you know the words, but don't say them because they're so informal that they're slightly weird almost. Stick to how are you, and that's perfect. And that's it for today. If you like this video, please don't forget to give it a thumbs up and to subscribe to my channel down below. And do let me know in the comments if you have any questions about the words that I've mentioned today, if you have any observations about what I've said in terms of my opinions, and if you agree or disagree, and how you feel about using C2 vocabulary in languages, and how you feel about grammar being either sophisticated or not, or just right or wrong. Let me know, as it's a topic that I've never really talked about, but I'm really interested in. In the meantime, I will see you on Tuesday with another explanation video.